you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us wherever you're listening, right here in Southern California or around the world on the KPECC app or at kpecc.org. We'll keep you updated on that mudslide in San Diego Canyon area, Silverado Canyon. The road is closed because of a mudslide that was triggered by heavy rains overnight. Also, a couple of adjacent canyons have voluntary evacuation, what they call evacuation warnings. That's for Modjeska and Williams Canyons. Those roads are open for Silverado Canyon residents. Maybe a little difficult to evacuate, given that the primary canyon road is closed by the mud. We don't have any reports of homes being damaged. However, there have been a number of cars that have been overrun with mud that's come off the denuded hillside above the canyon. Joining us right now to talk about the big news locally of LA Unified setting a date and a plan for reopening is KPECC K-12 education reporter Kyle Stokes. Kyle, good morning.
Morning, Larry.
LA Unified seemed to be the straggler here. A number of other districts. Glendale had announced a couple weeks ago that it was going to be reopening right after its spring break. Long Beach Unified, another large local district, has its plans to reopen soon. What finally closed the deal between LA Unified and its teachers union?
Vaccines was kind of the key piece. The union has been demanding all along, and we should say that the district was pretty well in line with these agreements. At least Superintendent Buettner's rhetoric was pretty in line with what the UTLA was demanding. But the three things were a health and safety agreement, you know, that sort of check, you know, that's they've got that here. And Superintendent Buettner has said that the district has been spending a ton of money on safety protocols and ventilation and PPE and that sort of thing. The second major piece, the major condition for UTLA was that LA County exit the purple tier before any campuses reopen. Well, that appears to be coming very, very soon. And so that left the issue of vaccination. Both the union and Superintendent Buettner have said that they want all teachers to have had the chance to be vaccinated. The question was supply, and now just recently, Superintendent Buettner said that we have the supply. They secured recently 25,000 vaccines, which should be enough to open elementary schools at least soon. And with that in place, that is sort of the key thing and the condition that, by the way, those three conditions are now part of this tentative agreement. And as soon as I think that's the one outstanding thing, as soon as all employees in a school have had the opportunity to be fully vaccinated, or I should say all teachers have had a chance to be, you know, fully vaccinated, which includes two doses plus 2 weeks after the end of that second dose to get the full immunity, then a school can reopen. And that's the essential piece that was outstanding, that needed to be resolved was vaccines. And, between the state and the county and the superintendent working to secure the supply. And now it's in the agreement that the teachers will have the time they need to go get the vaccine.
Other districts in Los Angeles County that are reopening are already well down the road. They've got their planning. They know exactly the capacity, how they're going to factor this. And that's all subject to change once real world conditions change in the classroom. But they've got pretty sophisticated plans, at least the ones that I've seen. I watched Glendale Unified School Board meeting last night, and they laid it all out. It was quite fascinating and quite thorough, at least in intent. Is LA Unified at that point where this is all the logistics are laid out for how to get the kids back onto campus?
Yeah, I think Superintendent Buettner would say so. I think the big factor as well is that they've got a ton of federal aid money, as well as aid from the state government that should assist in ensuring that the school district has all of the PPE that's needed. Superintendent Buettner likes to say that we've changed out all of the wiring on the AC system so that they're ventilating our school buildings 24/7, and that necessary ventilation filters are in place. There's a top to bottom cleaning regimen that's baked into this tentative agreement, we understand, but that the district has also been working on, where schools are going to get a thorough cleaning. What we hear is once a day. So the idea is that there will be added custodial staff to help make sure that schools are kept sanitized. I think that the district would say that we're there. And while we don't know exactly, I mean, we're still waiting on full text of the tentative agreement itself, the full legalese of the document. But I think that the agreement is an indication that the union is ready to go based on what the district is saying about safety protocols.
I was curious if they've had a chance to survey parents yet on their students coming back to campus in Glendale. Their survey, which was completed last weekend, showed of those that responded, just about two-thirds were looking to have their students return to campus. Do we have any sense of what the demand will be among LA Unified families?
I mean, we don't know exactly. There have been previous surveys that have shown potentially a lot of reluctance among LAUSD families. You have to remember, LAUSD is serving some of the neighborhoods that have been the hardest hit in all of California by COVID-19. And so I think that is certainly a factor that, Black and Latino families particularly, feel as though they don't want to be putting themselves at higher risk. They've seen firsthand the damage that this virus can do to lives and to families. And so if there's another, God forbid, another surge of this, they don't want to have a front row seat for it by sending their kids back to school. I mean, that's certainly the concern. We hear the research as well that says that schools have been safe. And so that's the balancing act here in terms of public opinion and just sort of the general public health conditions that exist for sending students back. I also think that the district's terms of like what is school going to look like when students go back are going to play a role here, because what we're understanding, the district is targeting under this agreement, sending elementary students back to campuses by April 19th. That's the goal, though that it isn't necessarily baked into the agreement. High school and middle school students are much further down the road than that, more like the end of April. So we're talking about, sending kids back with maybe 6 weeks left in the school year. And if they have the chance, if they go back, it'll be every other day, and they'll still be taking classes via Zoom inside a class. The upside is they'll have an adult there, the access to in-person supports, maybe a little bit of social interaction that they've lacked for the rest of the year. But I can imagine there are some families that don't necessarily see that as a better alternative than just staying at home, where, maybe they're fully supported. Maybe they have, all of the resources they need to succeed in online school at home, or they just don't feel safe taking whatever risk is involved in sending their kids back to campus just to take classes online.
Sure,
so that's a factor in LAUSD too.
The flip side is that many of those lower income households have greater challenges on average with childcare. Often those households have individuals working in essential services requiring leaving the house. So, and it's a higher percentage of single parent households. So you've got a lot of different factors that are coming into play there, and some very difficult decisions for families as to what they're going to do, certainly. I'm sorry, are you going to say something, Kyle?
On that very quickly, that I just talked to I was just getting off the phone with a parent before I jumped on with you here on Air Talk. A parent who was talking me through that exact dilemma. I mean, she has a lot of resources at home, but she's also like, my kids are Black and Latinx, and they're they're the ones who are at the greatest risk of this. I still have a ton of health concerns, and if all that they're going to be doing is going into Zoom from a room, I don't think it's worth the risk to my kids. But I also understand, as you're saying, Larry, that for some parents, this is a better option than what they have at home. So it's a really wrenching decision.
Yeah. And of course, you've got students who have special needs, and how are they being accommodated in their different programs? And is any of that back onto campus, Kyle, or are the campuses at LA Unified completely shut down?
No, what the idea is that black that excuse me that special education students, as well as other, you know, whatever the district designates as a high risk cohort, that those students are back, that, you know, sort of stay at home order where those students were not welcomed back. And the district didn't ever really welcome a ton of those students back during the end of calendar year 2020. The idea is that those students are beginning to return. It has been pointed out to me, though, that there is no, at least in what, you know, kind of few details we've gotten of this agreement, that there is no specific language about special education and what happens regarding special education, at least in the summary that we have seen so far. So it's a bit of a question about what return looks like for them. But there have been these sort of small group instructions, one-on-one. It's sort of taught by voluntary teachers who have volunteered to come back. That is happening right now. And it, potentially that maybe, I mean, I'm speculating here that might be why it's not contemplated in the tentative agreement. Then again, I haven't seen the full tentative agreement, and it's been pointed out to me, this is one of those big outstanding issues, because this is a group of students that is, you know, where there's the potential for real risk of being, you know, out of school for any length of time.
Well, it's going to be interesting to hear at this joint news conference scheduled 45 minutes from now with the union and with the district, whether they're going to lay out more specifics as to, you know, are they going to be doing hybrid sorts of programs? How are they going to handle if they've got more students than class capacity with distancing them 6 feet? And how many days might it mean that a hybrid student is in class versus online home doing their education? You think that we might get some of those details at 11?
We have some of those details right now. And I think a lot of this is going to depend on who wants to come back. The idea is that, you know, like in an elementary school, that you know, the class that your child has now will be assigned to either meet in the morning or meet in the afternoon for 3 hours in person. And the idea is that students would be able to keep their own teacher, but that parents would have the option to keep their kids home if they chose. And also there is a provision in this agreement for a teacher who's high risk and can get a doctor's note for them to be excused from in-person work. And so that those would conceivably be the wrinkles that would shake up those classroom cohorts. So, you know, those are the broad strokes of what hybrid learning will look like in elementary schools. And we mentioned this sort of Zoom in a room setup in secondary schools that's going on. I would be interested to know a little bit more about what the in-person services are going to look like. You know, students will be in a room with their advisory teacher, like, you know, we used to call their homeroom teacher. Yeah. They're going to be in there. The teacher's going to be teaching. You know, on their own Zoom, the kids are going to be on their own Zooms doing their own classes. The idea is that noise canceling headphones will make all of this work smoothly. I am interested to know whether that's work. I'm interested to know whether parents will go for it. And I'm interested to know what other in-person services are going to be available, because I think that will determine whether students are going to be interested in returning.
Well, and
campuses.
If teachers are holding out to be fully vaccinated plus the 2 weeks, and they don't get vaccinated till this week, as one of our listeners points out on the page, you're looking a month and a half away. So it's going to be weeks if that is going to be held to by teachers.
Yeah. And just in the context of, you know, other districts that have reopened, you know, this would be, there are some districts that have not announced reopening plans at all, or that we have heard of. And those are largely in kind of this, if you picture, you know, kind of South and East LA, where there are a lot of districts that have not, you know, called for return as yet, although there are some exceptions. But of the districts that have announced their return so far, LAUSD is pretty far down the road in terms of this school year. A lot of districts are moving toward kind of the end of March. I mean, Long Beach's move is to reopen elementary schools by the end of March. So in terms of the timeline, there are other districts that have been moving a little bit faster to try and make this happen. But then again, you know, say in Long Beach, their vaccine operation has prioritized teachers before LAUSD's did. So that's a factor there as well.
Yeah, same with Glendale. Thank you so much, Kyle. Good to talk with you. We appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward to hearing more of your reporting after the 11 o'clock news conference. That'll be coming up at 1 o'clock right here on KPCC, All Things Considered, with Austin Cross on 89.3. We'll be back in just 1 minute looking at the latest on COVID-19. Joining us will be Cedars-Sinai Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Richard Riggs. We'll talk with him in 60 seconds.
Support comes from Ciclovia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclovia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclovia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.